You're listening to 2A Radio with Bill Carnes.
Yet another good weekend filled with gun fun and plenty of shooting over at the Carnes household. As it turns out, there is there's a racetrack that's out here in Pahrump called Spring Mountain Motorsports Park, or Spring Mountain Ranch Motorsports Park, something like that. And it's a members-only, sort of an exclusive, high-end, hoity-toity, sort of a driving club with some very cool people that are there. And they have an indoor shooting range, which is essentially, it started life as a Connex box, a shipping container, if you will, that's been extended and had a two-lane shooting range put in. And the whole thing was, I don't know, somewhere $150,000 for these guys or something. So on occasion when there's a big weekend out, I'm invited to come out there. Oftentimes I've worked that thing and actually taught people how to shoot. This weekend I was invited out by my neighbor to actually just go out there and do a little shooting. As it turns out, I think I saw my neighbor for all of about 40 seconds. There was a couple people that I had met in the past that came in and wanted to shoot. A couple of different guys own the place. One of the owners who is, he's the kind of the absentee owner. He allows his partner to basically do the majority of the decision making there. But he was out with his wife and two daughters, so they came in. We did a little bit of shooting. Another lady and her 9-year-old son, whom I met, they came out and they did some shooting. Another lady that I'd known for a little while, in passing, she came out and did a little shooting. So it went from Bill and his neighbor going up there and shooting and having a good time and just some camaraderie. It turned into an impromptu 2-hour group of time of Bill Carnes' free lesson at the indoor range, which was enjoyable. I always enjoy teaching. But later, it kind of ticked me off because I had originally been asked to go up there and spend all weekend long at the range for this large members only weekend and man the range and teach anybody who wanted to shoot to come in there and shoot. They already knew how to shoot, just basically kind of oversee and watch them, help them out if I need to or not. All right. So, and I was going to do that for my standard rate, which has been paid before out there. And then they decided about 2 or 3 days beforehand, we're not going to spend that money. Go ahead and stay home. So, I was just going to go up there and shoot with my neighbor. People still got 2 hours worth of free lessons out of me, which, again, after I thought about it on my drive home, it kind of hit me. And I was like, I'm not entirely satisfied with this. I feel a bit used. However, if people who were shooting and are now a little bit better, that's great. People who didn't know anything about guns but were interested in buying them, now they at least have at least a basic knowledge of what it takes to shoot them. I'm satisfied. I just guess I don't enjoy working for free, really. I mean, in this economy, that's tough for anybody. But there is some sense of satisfaction out of it. So, anyhow, that's kind of what went down. I ended up being able to fire about maybe 15 rounds downrange myself with my gun. I fired some of the students' guns that they brought, a couple of them, just to make sure that the things are working properly, but maybe 15, maybe 20 rounds out of my own guns downrange. So, yippee. So anyhow, I ended up having to do a little bit of dry practice for some more sense of satisfaction after I got home. Got that done. Went through my gun inventory and, spruced a couple of things up and just kind of spent a bit of a gun day. And then the following day, yesterday, was NASCAR and computer day. I had lots of computer work to get done. I still have a little bit to finish up today. I have 3 different laptops at my house that all died within about 3 or 4 months. And I'm in the process of taking them apart, taking the hard drives out, and recovering the data. Sounds a little simpler and more straightforward than it truly is, and I've been working on this project for the last 5 or 6 days now. But we're getting there. Anyhow, we have plenty of gun-related news to get to after the break, so please stay tuned. We're going to get to that. You're tuned in right here to Bill Carnes and 2A Radio.
It's not an option. It's a right. Cocked, locked, and ready to rock the world of the anti-gunners. You are listening to the guy who had to register his mouth as a full auto weapon. Bill Carnes and Two-Way Radio. The fight for your rights isn't for pansies. So buckle up for the ride and knuckle down with Bill Carnes and 2A Radio.
Thank you for that round of applause, everyone. Thank you very much. I'm your host, Bill Carnes. You're tuned in live right here Monday morning to 2A Radio. Now, I'm going to get right into this, something that's going on in Arizona. Now, keep in mind, Arizona has passed some highly conservative laws this last legislative session, not the least of which was to go constitutional carry, where you don't need to have any sort of special permission or go through any government authorized courses or pay any fees to carry your handgun concealed. Just do it. Now, in the city of Phoenix, keep in mind, the biggest anti-gun areas that we will find are large metropolises or metropoli, large cities around the country. That is where you will find more and more people who are anti-gun. The reason is, they live more off of the city than they do off of themselves, all right? So you can understand that. Well, the city of Phoenix, in an apparently arbitrary move and without any formal legal process, has forced CBS Outdoor, a billboard company, to tear down 50 illuminated bus shelter billboards under contract to promote gun safety training for children and their parents. Now, these posters were placed by TrainMeAZ.com, a commercial joint education effort of the firearms industry in Arizona, and has been up all over the Phoenix metro area for a little over 1 week before the city acted. Now, here's a quote. The Phoenix attorney's office claimed these were public service announcements, and those are banned, according to Alan Corwin, manager of the TrainMeAZ campaign, and the publisher at Bloomfield Press, a sponsor of the program. He says it's a bogus excuse, and they know full well we're an LLC and not a nonprofit. The commercial sponsors, shooting ranges, and trainers on the website expect to attract customers. The ads are aimed at parents so they can teach gun safety and values of marksmanship to their kids. We're promoting a culture of marksmanship where everybody learns to shoot and understands gun safety. Now, Assistant Phoenix City Attorney Ted Mariscal claimed in a conference call with Mr. Corwin and CBS Advertising Outdoor that the billboards weren't commercial enough. The message was too vague, and then demanded the message be changed to his satisfaction. This is Assistant City Attorney. They're not commercial enough. The message is too vague. And it needs to be changed to my satisfaction. That's what he's claiming here. Now, when pressed for a definition of what is either sufficiently commercial or what defines a public service ad, he declined to respond, referring instead to a 12-year-old Ninth Circuit court case concerning a religious group, the Children of the Rosary, and abortion ads. Now, CBS Outdoor is designing new art to please the city, but without guidelines of what's acceptable. So there's no way to predict the result. And the Train Me AZ campaign isn't exactly keen on this approach. Mariscal offered to provide the case he says matters. And the lease agreement, he says, allows the city to remove the ads. The case is now under review. No lease agreement has been approved, and the city apparently has no definitions in place, apparently leaving Mr. Mariscal to act on his own unfettered accord. Nothing in the city's advertising guidelines provided by Mr. Mariscal appeared to justify censoring the ads. In the meantime, Train Me AZ is losing more than 800,000 impressions per day it had been receiving through the phase one of the campaign. A bulletin billboard with a similar message and goal remains up on Interstate 17 through another company. It gets about 135,000 eyes daily, which drive by, which is facing southbound traffic near the Peoria exit, in case you're in the Phoenix area. Several outdoor advertisers have contacted Train Me AZ in an effort to pick up the lost business for themselves. CBS has offered a slate of city billboards to replace the messages that the city has banned. Mariscal, here's a quote, Mariscal has offered to approve some other advertisements to replace the ones we designed at great expense and want, according to Carwin. We'll be reasonable and look, but we don't exactly want the city of Phoenix writing our advertisements for us. If anything is absolutely an affront to free speech and the First Amendment, there it is on a platter. Who do these people think they are? Well, the government should stay out of the way. That's all I have to say. The government should stay out of the way on this. Who is the city attorney to say, you can't advertise that in this area because we say so? An absolute total First Amendment violation. Total First Amendment violation. How do they explain themselves? I don't get it. I just don't understand why CBS or Train Me AZ would even listen. Anyhow, it floors me that they would that they would even allow themselves. Sorry, guys, I'm sending something to my board operator with a function which is just in my ear and driving me nuts. It amazes me that these guys would actually cowtail to the city of Phoenix in this and not just fight it right on its surface. What is the city attorney going to do if they leave them up? Are they going to send city workers out there to destroy CBS outdoor property in an effort to take these ads down? Are they just going to try to fine everyone involved? What is it that they're going to do? Now, me, knowing myself, I would have told the city attorney, it's not up to you to interpret. We will show you that this is a commercial advertisement. To say that it's not commercial enough is not within the city ordinance. So, in short, Mr. City Attorney, go pound sand. Go pound sand. Of course, the government should stay out of the way of business, trying to make it in these tough economic times, or at any time. Instead, the government has become one of the biggest obstacles we face. It's bad enough Phoenix has attacked free speech, but now they're messing with Second Amendment rights on top of it from the city attorney's office, and right before an election as well. People who support this ought to be removed from office and pretty much punished for malfeasance. Legislators aware of the problem have expressed outrage at the censorship effort by the city and are preparing a plan of action. Of course, we hope to find out what that plan's going to be soon enough. The program is an outgrowth of the constitutional carry law, effective July of this year, that frees all law-abiding adults in Arizona to discreetly carry concealed firearms without having to get any sort of specialized permission. You don't need a permission slip. And, you know, with the audience expanding from about 2% of the public willing to apply and pay for a government permission slip to carry to 50% of the public that possesses firearms, private industry figures that this 25-fold increase in potential market is worth attracting. Now, Mr. Corwin will be at the Crossroads of the West Gun Show. Actually, I'm sorry, he was there this last weekend, which is at the University of Phoenix Stadium in Glendale, where he was there to autograph books, answer questions, and discuss these sorts of matters. So, sorry that this information came to you a little bit late, but it got to me on Saturday, and we don't do the show on Saturday. So, there you go. So, again, the city of Phoenix getting in the way of First Amendment advertising along with a Second Amendment message. We're talking about two full rights being completely violated by this city attorney by the name of, let me find it again, his name is, come on, where is it? Ah, what the hell? He's not important enough to, or Mariscal, Mariscal, M-A-R-I-S-C-A-L, Assistant City Attorney Mariscal, Ted Mariscal. Now, something tells me this guy's not elected. He's hired into that job function, which means he can be fired from that job function. And if he's the one who's actually making the decisions, my thought is this, who's your boss? Because it's your boss that I'm going to be going after. It's your boss that I want to talk to. It's your boss who's going to be handling things when we sue you for First and Second Amendment rights violations there, Mr. Ted Mariscal. So, he should ought to just be canned out of that position. He doesn't belong there. So, we'll see how this goes. More information coming my way will result in more information coming your way on this. So, there you go. Stay tuned, guys. More to come after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes. You're tuned in live right here to 2A Radio. RoninTactical.com has certified concealed carry training specialists that travel to you and your group of self-protection advocates. Organize a group of friends, family, or co-workers who take their responsibility of self-protection seriously, and RoninTactical.com will send out a certified training specialist who will provide a course of instruction that will get you and your group certified to carry concealed in over 30 states while providing you, the organizer, a commission for organizing the event. Do you travel for work, family, or vacation and want to remain armed and safe when traveling? Contact RoninTactical.com for details on staying home and having one of our certified professionals travel to you to provide the training and credentials for you and your group to safely and legally carry concealed in over 30 states. Call 888-416-4809 or go online to RoninTactical.com.
Tell everyone in the room to pipe down. 2A Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
Hi guys, welcome back. Now, I am in the process of going through my entire gun arsenal and deciding what it is I really need, what it is I really don't need, because you know, as it goes, you end up collecting some guns here and there that, you know, are kind of cool at the time, and then you realize later, I wonder if I really need that. Well, I have a couple of guns that I have decided, you know, I really don't know that I need to have that. And let me describe these for you, because I'm going to sell these things, and if anybody's interested, you can hit me back and we can work something out. The first gun is a Remington 700. In 416 Remington Magnum. It is an African gun. It can also be used. It's great for, in North America, if you're going to be hunting very large elk, if you're going to be hunting buffalo, if you're going to be hunting bear of any kind, especially up to and including the largest bear in the world, the Kodiak bear. And it's also for the big five, some people call the big six now, in Africa. And it comes with a 1.5 power Zeiss scope, the exact scope which big game African hunters in the plains want to have. It has a factory ported barrel up front, so it will help out with a little bit of recoil control. In addition to the gun, it's got a sling. Now, it used to have a barrel band sling. I took that off because that can screw up the harmonics on a gun, and now that sling goes into the front of the stock, so it is better. And it actually has what is called a Ching Sling 2 on it. And the Ching Sling 2 is a fantastic sling to actually get you a much more balanced feel when you're shooting, and it's much more stable. On top of that, the ammunition for this gun is between about $5 and $8 per round. Well, as it turns out, I have probably 300 rounds of ammunition for this gun, and I'm going to sell the entire kit and caboodle. The gun, which is valued at $1,200, the scope, which is valued at another $800, and all of the ammo, which 300 rounds is worth about $1,500 or more. We sell the whole thing for $2,000. So if you have an interest in that, you're going to be going hunting for anything really big, or you have an interest in going hunting for anything really big, $2,000, the whole thing is yours. Now, on top of that, I also have a really neat, newer style sport utility rifle, which is, it's the Microtech STG 5.56, or 5.56 they call it. This is the American-built copy, or version, I should say, of the Steyr AUG, which is no longer importable into the U.S. Now, this gun that I have comes as a complete kit. You can either buy the gun, or at one point in time, you could buy a very limited edition kit. That's what I have, is the very limited edition kit. It comes in a solid Pelican case that actually has wheels on it as well to tote this thing around. Now, my gun is overall 26 inches is what the legal minimum is. Mine's like 26.2 inches. Has a 16-inch barrel on it. It is a bullpup design. It is easily convertible for a right-handed ejection, for a right-handed shooter, or left-handed ejection, left-handed shooter. And it comes with the standard scope on it. It has a side rail that you can mount a light. The interesting thing about this gun, over and above that of the original Steyr that it mimics, is that the optic on the Steyr AUG, I'm sorry, did I say Steyr Scout? Steyr AUG. It's a American-built copy or version of the Steyr AUG. The AUG has a fixed optic on there. You can't do anything about it. This one, you can remove it and put a rail on there and put any optic you want on there. That's what's really cool about this gun. It also has a forward assist, which is on the left side of the gun. On an AR, it's on the right side of the gun. This has a forward assist on the left side if you need it. In the kit, you get the gun. You get one each of the four-size magazines that Microtech makes for this. 10-round, 20-round, 30-round, and 42-round magazines. It comes with the sling that came with the gun from the manufacturer, which is a 3-point tack sling. It also comes with a Microtech knife, and Microtech got their start making knives, and they make a fantastic knife. All of this, the gun has tan furniture on it, like kind of a desert tan. The handle of the knife has matching tan handle on it. The knife also has the same serial number matching the gun. It's a whole kit. All right, and this whole kit I got, I lapped the barrel on it. The gun has probably 250 rounds through it. It's a lot of fun. And here's the other thing is, the flash hider that comes on the gun is a reverse thread. It's goofy. So I took that off, and I bought the adapter from Ratworks, which is a subsidiary of Microtech, who built the gun, as I understand. I put the adapter on there and threaded on a standard, Phantom 2 flash hider. And I did that so I can take that flash hider off and now use my suppressor on the gun, which is actually a very nice thing. That gun is for sale as well. For that whole kit, everything's done. Plus, I also have the, it's a very limited, it's called a trigger tamer. However, the trigger tamer that I have is made of aluminum, not plastic. So you can have up to 4 different trigger pulls on the thing. This whole setup, $2,800. So if you have any interest on either of these guns, shoot me an email, bill@2aradio.com. Again, bill@2aradio.com. Stay tuned, guys. We've got more gun news coming at you after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes. You're tuned in right here to 2A Radio.
You're listening to a guy who packs a gun to shoot the bad guys and packs a mic to shoot his mouth off. Bill Carnes and 2A Radio are back.
All right, guys, welcome back. Now, on the Supreme Court, we have had two different decisions come out of the Supreme Court in the last couple of years. One of them was D.C. versus Heller, which came out in June of 2008. And then the most recent one was the McDonald v. Chicago case, which came out in June of this year, 2010. 2 years apart to the week. And both of the decisions were 5-4. Five saying, okay, yeah, good on Second Amendment. Four saying no against. And there was one difference in judges. I think it was Stevens. Was it Stevens who left? And then Sotomayor took his spot. Is that it? Whoever it was, I think it was Stevens, is the guy who left and had voted against Heller. And then, of course, he's replaced by Sonia Sotomayor, who has a very poor record on guns, and she voted against, or I should say her opinion was against the McDonald decision in Chicago. And now we have Elena Kagan, who's been put on the court, who has absolutely no experience as a judge whatsoever. She has academia experience and writing anti-gun policy for both the Clinton administration and the regime in the White House now under Obama's control. So, Scalia, Justice Antonin Scalia, who wrote the majority opinion in Heller, and an excellent opinion at that, according to two witnesses, Antonin Scalia took Elena Kagan out for a lesson in skeet shooting at his local club in Virginia last week. How about that? Listen to this. The witnesses saw Scalia at the Fairfax Rod and Gun Club, where he is a member, around noon on Wednesday of last week. He was with a woman who was notably diminutive in height, like Kagan, who stands about 5 feet 3 inches. The witnesses, who got a very close look at the pair, said the woman was the newest Supreme Court justice. Scalia was bending down in order to teach Kagan how to hold the shotgun, the witnesses say, and the pair were shooting skeet. Kagan, who was nominated to the Supreme Court by President Obama in May and confirmed by the Senate in August, is generally believed to hold negative opinions towards the Second Amendment. The perception is based on a memo she penned in the 80s as Justice Thurgood Marshall's new clerk, in which she said she was, quote, not sympathetic, end quote, to the Second Amendment argument in a case that dealt with the District of Columbia's gun laws. Also during her time as a member of the Clinton administration, she played a role in instituting a temporary suspension of licenses for the importation of what they referred to as assault rifles. You and I would call them sport utility rifles. Kagan did not comment on the issue of gun rights during her confirmation hearings. And the Fairfax Rod and Gun Club would not comment on the matter. The Supreme Court of the United States did not respond to requests for a comment. Not surprising. None of that surprising. However, Antonin Scalia, Justice Scalia, thank you very much for at least showing somebody that we perceive to be anti-gun, at least to have an experience with the gun. I got to tell you guys, if anybody out there is anti-gun, and you run across them, anybody I've ever run across, I have to tell you, it is generally anti-gun out of sheer ignorance. Ignorance meaning they just don't know. Not stupidity, that they're dumb people. They're just stupid. They don't get it. They're ignorant because they don't have all the information. It's just merely a sheer level of ignorance. If you find people who are anti-gun, you show me an anti-gunner, I will show you someone who has never been the direct victim of a violent crime. You show me somebody who's anti-gun, I'll show you someone who is a city dweller, and as a city dweller, they're either in the city and have been their entire life, or they were raised in the city and haven't had to rely on themselves for their own protection because there's always been safety numbers in the city. And oftentimes, those same people will now be out in the country, but out in the country where they have moved, well, They haven't had to have any sort of negative experience just yet. That's what I'll show you. Now, if somebody is anti-gun and they actually have a real, live, handheld experience with a gun, they've used a gun, they've had a gun around. Now, those people are very, and then if they're anti-gun, I'm okay with them being anti-gun. Anti-gun for them, that's fine. But you will generally not find those people. That is the rarest breed of someone who just doesn't like guns. Now, I'll give you a perfect example. My sister-in-law, my brother's wife, she and her sisters essentially kind of raised themselves because her father would have to go off to work and then come home. Go off to work, and I mean go off to work for a week or more at a time and then come home. And they had to get themselves up and get dressed and, you know, go to school and come home and take care of the house and cook and eat and take care of each other. You know, and this is years ago back in the Bible Belt. So there are other good neighbors around. But they had guns around. They learned how to use guns. Dad taught them how to use guns. And so my sister-in-law has experience with guns from when she was a kid. She doesn't like them. She just doesn't like them. She and I, a couple of different times, we've had a disagreement. Now, she doesn't look at guns in the same view as I do, but at least she's held them in her hand and she's fired them. Okay? So, if she has a negative opinion of guns, I respect that, because she's at least held the gun. Her other rationale behind it, which goes from not having experience with certain aspects of firearms, I don't lend a tremendous amount of credence to that, but I at least give her a very wide swath, because she has held guns and shot them several times in her life. That's okay. But that is not the case with most people who are anti-gun. They've never held a gun, never shot a gun, don't know anything about guns. And they suffer from what is known as hoplophobia. Now, hoplophobia is the term coined by the late Colonel Jeff Cooper, who was the founder of Gunsight down in Paulden, Arizona. So people that suffer from hoplophobia, it is curable. Okay, there's a lady by the name of Jennifer Willis who exhibited all of the symptoms of hoplophobia in explaining her return to sanity in an article that she wrote in Salon magazine that says, "I was anti-gun until I got stalked." Really? All right, so we're going to cover this. She says, "I'm afraid of guns. I abhor them. I used to date a guy who owned guns. I made him move his small gun safe to another room. The idea of owning a gun made me sick to my stomach. I dreamed that people were pointing double-barrel shotguns at me." Now, this is a clear case of hoplophobia. Somebody who's afraid of an inanimate object. Everything is inanimate until someone starts to use it. A vehicle is an inanimate object. And unless a human being gets in there and starts tinkering with it, vehicle's completely harmless. It just sits there. Same thing with a gun or a bat or a knife of any kind. That's just the way things are. So, continuing on. All of these are classic symptoms of hoplophobia, defined by author and firearms instructor Colonel Jeff Cooper as an unreasoning, obsessive, neurotic fear of weapons as such, usually accompanied by an irrational feeling that weapons possess a will or consciousness for evil, apart from the will of their users. Now, Alan Corwin, we discussed him earlier, further defined the condition of as that which, quote, may cause sweating, faintness, discomfort, rapid pulse, nausea, sleeplessness, nondescript fears, and more at the mere thought of guns. Presence of a working fire may cause a panic attack. Now, a phobia is exhibited by another writer at Salon magazine a few years ago, Sally Tisdale, who expressed her anti-gun point of view in a virulent diatribe, holding that the Second Amendment needed to be abolished and all weapons of any kind whatsoever be eliminated entirely. What a fantasy land that would be. Imagine your worst nightmare, your scariest neighbor, your angriest employee, or the most frightening student at your child's high school. Loading up on ammo this weekend at a convention center near you. It's perfectly legal. It happens all the time. And we act as though there's nothing we can do about it. Well, I am unmoved by claims for freedom, lifestyle, or privacy in this realm. I'm afraid of guns. And I'm afraid of people who like guns, own guns. I'm a little scared all the time. I no longer want gun control. I want an absolute ban on the manufacture, sale, possession, and use of handguns. I realize there must be exceptions. The police need guns. This is all what went on in this woman's article. The government needs guns, not us. Again, another form of hoplophobia. Well, Willis, at least, happily, had a brush with reality, which turned into a wake-up call. She was being stalked by a man who expressed his interest in her through a series of phone calls, emails, and gifts sent to her in the mail. In one or more recent emails, the stalker mentioned knowing about a trip she took recently, which she had told no one about. And that's when a law enforcement officer who responded to her call suggested that she purchase and learn to use a handgun for self-defense. She lives in the state of Oregon, and Oregon is a shall-issue state, which means that a concealed weapons permit or license to carry concealed must be issued if the applicant meets certain criteria under the law, meaning they don't have any sort of legal, conviction that would otherwise keep them from owning a gun. The LEO reassured Willis, quote, getting a concealed carry permit isn't hard. And they make ladies' purses with concealment weapons compartments. So Willis wrote of her change of mind about carrying. She said, quote, I believe in compassion and peace. And the very idea of a gun was a compromise of my principles. Well, evidently her boyfriend provided the incentive when he asked her, which would you prefer, compromising your principles or getting abducted by a crazy man? At which time she finally got it. She applied for a CCW and now carries for self-defense. She put it aptly, she says, quote, I can still be the compassionate, diplomatic, interfaith, groovy gal I've always been. I'll just be packing heat in case negotiations tank. Well, there you go. In her article, she warned her would-be abductor, quote, I'm not as afraid of my stalker as I should be. I'm armed now, with more than words and good intentions. He keeps sending upsetting letters, but if he ever pays me a visit, Jenny's got a gun, and she knows how to use it. Well, excellent. It's hoped that Willis has had a chance to influence Tidsdale's highly emotional hoplophobia to bring her back to reality as well. Masoud Ayoub, the author of The Gravest Extreme, The Role of the Firearm in Personal Protection, reminds his readers, quote, The only real gun control exists not in the law books, but in the individual consequences of the citizen who chooses to arm himself against the grave and present danger of personal criminal assault. I can remember the words of my father on the day I turned 21 and applied for my first pistol permit. On that occasion, he presented me with a Smith & Wesson 38 snubnose and a piece of advice that would guide my own approach to firearms defense. He said, I hope you never need to use it. He told me, but if you ever do, don't miss. Calling to chime in on today's topic, we have Mark in Georgia on line one. Mark, welcome to 2A Radio.
Well, I actually wasn't, are we supposed to be constrained to your topic? Because I've got one that I'd like to propose.
We have about 2 minutes left in this segment, so propose
okay.
away.
Well, you know what general public license, GPL, is? It's like the Linux operating system. Everybody owns it. Nobody owns it. You can download it for free, and there are variants that people have made proprietary. I'm proposing that we, the people, not necessarily just in this country but throughout the world, we come to some kind of let's see about what can we do better by not let's have a clean sheet of paper. Let's basically have a people's design for basically a resistance. Obviously, I'm having a reinstating the militia will require a code of conduct, some kind of accountability, but we also need to have something to carry. And I'm thinking in terms of if people around the world, not necessarily just in the United States, but we designed a new, basically a set of arms for the militiamen. that basically, let's see what we can do with our currently existing technology, what is economical, what is reliable, what is lethal to the people that need to be lethal to, and very safe for the people that are on the right end of it. I'm simply proposing that we, the people, get together and see what we can develop. Because when Colt designed the M16, the design of that M16 belonged to Colt. Was the one that designed it and built it, or am I mistaken?
Well, it was not Colt
themselves.
It belonged
to the government.
Actually, yeah. The design, I forget the name of the designer, and I can't believe I forgot it. He's very famous for having designed the gun. But yeah. Colt actually bought the design. Stoner was his name. His name is Stoner.
Right. Well, what I'm saying is that the specifications, and of course Sammy would be involved in saying, well, if you're going to have a cartridge, it needs to meet these specifications.
Okay, so Mark, what you're talking about is to have a public access gun design that no one controls the rights to, along with a public access cartridge. Is that right?
Well, basically, yeah. It's where you know, it's like obviously you know if you do things properly, everything's fine. If you screw up, look, we're not assuming liability.
Mark, I got it. We're going into a break. Stay on the line, guys. We'll be right back right after this break. If you live in a state which allows Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories, and you either have an interest in or already own Class 3 NFA items, the process for an individual to own these items includes photographs, fingerprints, obtaining a letter of permission from your police chief or sheriff, and a full personal background check which is spread across the whole federal system. Until now. Forming an NFA trust eliminates the requirements of letters of permission and all personal data and background checks in purchasing and possessing NFA firearms and accessories. NFA trusts offer a level of anonymity as well as flexibility in the purchasing, possessing, and storage of your Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories. To learn more about forming a secure and flexible NFA trust at a fraction of the cost from attorneys, visit www.billcarnes.com and click on the NFA tab. That's BILLCARNS.com and click on the NFA tab.
As long as politicians attack our rights, Bill will be fighting for them. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
Back up, I'll take you on. Headstrong to take on anyone. I know that you are wrong if this is not where you belong.
All right, guys, we're back. Mark, are you still on the line with us?
Am I here? I don't know.
Yes, you are.
I became my own imaginary best friend, so...
Sorry, Mark, we got about 2 minutes. We got about 2 minutes till the end of the show. So really kind of spell this out. You're onto something which is a rather novel idea.
Right, and that is a GPL, and it's not just a specific, let's say, a sidearm or a, you know, something like the .45 Thompson that was used for kind of a trench sweeper. But let's step back and take a fresh look. Do we need to have a percussion type primer that goes all the way back to the Civil War, or maybe a spark plug? And instead of having powdered-type propellants, maybe liquid oxidizer, liquid fuel that's injected into a chamber so that you don't even leave a casing behind.
I don't know that we actually need to...
Let's see.
Hold on. Mark, I don't know that we need to reinvent the wheel here. I don't know that we need to reinvent the wheel. I mean, I'm sure that standard ammunition could work fine if we had some sort of, publicly... open, non-proprietary design for a gun. Would you agree? Or would you disagree?
Let's step back, because of the most brilliant innovations. I saw this guy who designed an engine. I hope it succeeds. I hope it's not a scam. And I'd like to go in the business of retrofitting cars to have this incredibly new technology called the MYT engine. But if it's for real, great. But the thing that he did is he stepped back and said, why are we always doing things this way? Can we rearrange things and reconfigure to where we simplify things? And that's what I'm proposing is
okay,
let's
I get you.
Recognize that certain paradigmical things like when the Swiss made watches with mechanisms, and then somebody came up with the idea of quartz, and they were absolutely devastated because what they had counted on for ages, you know, for as long as this type of mechanism worked, all of a sudden they were like, we're having to rethink our entire industry because somebody came up with a bright idea that completely wiped out what we had been counting on all our lives and our grandfathers' lives. So I'm simply suggesting, let's step back, let's take a fresh look at the issue. And there was this joke about, I'm looking for this grunge group, their motto is, guns don't kill people, I do. I'm looking out for them. That's a joke. That's a very bad attempt at humor. But like I say, we need to take a fresh look at things. And I recognize that if we're going to reinstate the militia, there needs to be a very clear charter. We will not abode with anyone advocating violent overthrow of the government. It's strictly defensive.
Mark, I got you. We're at the end of the show. Thanks very much for calling in, man. Guys, thanks again for staying tuned today. We'll be back tomorrow. Stay tuned for more great programming.
I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule.
Thanks for tuning in. Bill will be back tomorrow. Now go side in and shoot straight. The two-way radio show with Bill Carnes. Learn more about Bill at BillCarnes.com. Send your comments to Bill at 2WayRadio.com. I will not-